Hi, I'm Dan from Desert Island Dicks. I'm losing my voice a little bit, so I sound especially croaky and weird today, and excuse any pubescent squeaks and pops. Anyway, this episode of Desert Island Dicks... excuse me. This episode of Desert Island Dicks features comedian Huge Davies, and he's very funny. Look him up online. He does an act where he has a giant synthesizer strapped to his neck, which I imagine is incredibly uncomfortable, but he's very funny, so have a look at him. But not before you've listened to him be funny in Desert Island Dicks, because that's what we're all here for, after all. Remember, you can always get in touch with your choices for who and what you think is a dick. You just have to contact us at dickspod.com/contact or find us on Twitter and Instagram at dickspod, and you can have your say. This week in Compact Dicks, we're especially looking for the most disappointing meals you've had, you know, especially if it's somewhere nice, you know, go to a lovely restaurant on holiday and you get a really shit meal, or on an exciting trip somewhere and you're on the plane and it's really shit, or at a theme park and that kind of thing. Yeah, that's especially what we're looking for. But anything that you fancy telling us about that you hate people or things, just let us know. Excuse me, by the way, I forgot I've got my washing on in the background as well. So a combination of my croaky voice and the washing machine, it's a professional package we've got going on here. In the last episode, in my intro, I mentioned that I was going to feature on a podcast called Podcaster, where hosts of podcasts get interviewed. And it wasn't last week. It's actually out now, though. So if you want to hear more of my stupid ramblings, then by all means, go and download it. And it was very fun. And I think it should be a fun series of listening to podcast hosts being asked questions. So go and check that out. And as ever, it would be lovely if you would leave us a rating and give us a nice review and subscribe to the podcast. All these things really make a difference. And that's why you hear podcast hosts banging on about them so much, because it helps us be seen and get recognised and, oh, I don't know. Anyway, it's just useful. So if you could do that, that would be wonderful. Anyway, I'm running out of voice to speak with, so I'm going to leave you now to listen to the podcast properly. It's Desert Island Dicks with Huge Davies. Hi, I'm Dan Benedictus, and welcome to Desert Island Dicks, the show that sees you marooned on a desert island after a plane crash with the worst people and worst things imaginable. Who they are and why they're a dick is up to our guest, and here to share their Desert Island Dicks with us today is comedian Huge Davies. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you? You okay?
Good, thank you. Yeah, thank you for joining us today. How are you feeling? Are you feeling sort of in the mood to really vent, or are you feeling reserved? How do we find you today?
I'm pretty venty today. I'm looking at flats at the moment, and a flat came through yesterday that we wanted, but we couldn't get. So I'm annoyed by that. So and I haven't had a chance to vent about that yet.
Okay.
To anyone. So I think that will probably come through. I'm not homeless though. So
well,
it's not going to be like from within a bin or something.
Well, that's good. Just from a sound quality point of view, if nothing else.
Could be a better podcast though if I was in a bin. Just
yeah,
it would be more real. The problems I had, I think, in that case, if you were like, what's the worst thing about being on a desert island? And I'd be like, absolutely nothing. I'd prefer it, if anything.
Yeah, what's your least favourite food? Like, at the minute, nothing, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if we sort of tweak the podcast to be who would you least like to be stuck in a bin with, I mean, you know, it'd be even worse. But we'll stick with desert island for now.
Okay, cool. Suits me to a T.
Good. Okay. How did you find the process of picking your choices for this week?
I find it quite difficult, to be honest, because, you know, there's just so many people that I don't like, and then there's also the balancing of like, you've got to put it in context of the desert island, so it's not just like who do you hate, it's who would you least like to share an island with, which is a different thing. So yeah, I've thought long and hard about it, but yeah, I've come up with, I think, three horrible people. And yeah, and some other horrible things as well. So I think it was harder than I thought it would be, because it's the sort of thing that I think I'd thrive at. But and also it's quite good, because normally when I'm doing comedy or anything, I don't talk about anything in real life, because it's more kind of surreal kind of stuff. So I never actually get to say that I hate this person, because it would go against kind of my act. So it's quite good in a way to just finally say I hate this person. I don't want to share an island with anyone.
Good. Okay. Well, let's get started then. Who's going to be the first person on the island with you?
The first person on the island with me, I can say with pleasure, is Nick Grimshaw.
Okay.
Absolutely hate that man. And it's not even... I don't think it's even Nick Grimshaw as a person, because, yeah, sure, he's ignorant and really boring and just really dislikable. But it's also, I think it's what he represents in terms of, like, his popularity infuriates me. To put him in a position of the most popular radio television slot in the UK and have that just be like, well, this is the person who's in charge of quite a large part of young people's culture. Just infuriates me to the, because there's Greg James does it now, and I quite like Greg James, but he's just so awful. He's just so awful, so boring. I think because Greg James is famous, I try to think about. Because Greg James wasn't near... No, not Greg James, sorry. Nick Grimshaw wasn't at the top of the list. But I started to think more about him, and I was like, I literally know nothing about Nick Grimshaw. There's no memories that I have triggered when I think of Nick Grimshaw. When someone's as famous as Nick Grimshaw, there's got to be something in which you go, well, like Will Smith, you go like, oh, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Mm. Or, you know, Graham Norton, he hosts a talk show. With Nick Grimshaw, it's like I have no memory of him, and yet he's so... prevalent in my mind.
Yeah.
And that just goes to show that how popular he is as a verster, like how much impact he's made as a person, just annoys me to the point where I'm like, just get someone else to do the job.
Yeah. Because it was weird. I remember, like, so Greg James was kind of, I remember at the time he was kind of pitted to take that spot, and then suddenly they were like, no, it's Nick Grimshaw, the edgier choice. And it seemed like even Nick Grimshaw was a bit confused by it all. You know, like, he's kind of... I think Greg James is a real career radio presenter. It's all he's ever wanted to do, and it's all he'll ever want to be. Whereas Nick Grimshaw just seems to be, like, a sort of... I don't know, just like an it boy, if such a thing exists. You know, like, he's kind of hanging out with Kate Moss and stuff, and it's like...
That's the thing. It's just, he seems to be someone who's hang... He's sort of someone you'd see at a party, if you went to a party of celebrities, and you'd be like, he was there.
Yeah.
It's like, but don't give him a microphone for 3 hours. You know, don't do it. I did YouTube him before I came on here because I wanted to sort of make sure that I was correct. And there's an interview he does quite specifically with Henry Cavill, and he's promoting the Man of Steel film. And I'm not a huge fan of Henry Cavill or anything, but he's basically on the radio show. He's going through his interview with Henry Cavill and sort of quoting it and using like soundbiting the thing, and he's saying how awkward it is and how awkward Henry Cavill is being, but he's asking him the most stupid questions I've ever heard in my life. He asks him what's it like to play the most important, the most famous person of all time. Henry Cavill's like, what do you mean? He's not real. He's not a real person. He's not famous. It's not, and even if he was, I don't know. He's not the most famous person of all time. And then they sort of have a go. And then Nick Grimshaw says to his listeners, like, the next question I'm really proud of. And look how Henry Cavill answers this and, like, ruins the interview. And he goes, did someone teach you, like, how to stand as Superman and then how to stand as Clark Kent? And he just goes, I'm an actor, so I make those decisions.
Yeah.
That's why they cast me in the thing. And he's like, what a boring guy. And I'm like, it's crazy that he's just... It's so infuriating that Henry Cavill is getting really boring questions, really bad questions, and making really interesting answers. And Nick Grimshaw is basically just saying, what a bad interview. And it's like, you know, you're just a terrible interviewer. And it's just insane that this is being broadcast at like a peak time, a peak radio time. It's so annoying.
Yeah, and it's quite an insight into Nick Grimshaw's sort of mind that he thinks Superman is the most famous person in the world. It's like, you can imagine asking him, going, so, you know, your fantasy dinner party, Nick, you know, who would you most like to have? Think of like all the most important people of all time, and loads of people be like going, oh, I don't know, like Nelson Mandela. He's like, Superman. I want Superman. Is that your mindset, Nick? Is that how your brain works?
Yeah, and even then, it wouldn't be a good conversation. Even as someone whose professional job is to interview people, even him interviewing Superman, I wouldn't want to listen to, which is crazy. So that's your only thing, that's what you do. Like, it's like, he's kept asking Henry all these questions about Superman, and Superman, he kept giving all these like really interesting answers about, I mean, I'm not a big Superman fan, but it was interesting to listen to. It's sort of like he expected him to like give some wacky answer. He was like, what's your favorite thing about Superman? He'd be like, oh, I love to fly. It's like, he's not Superman.
Yeah,
it's like he's it's a character study of Superman that's directed by Christopher Nolan. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's not...
Well, I mean, I loved having the opportunity to fly and have superpowers for 6 months while we filmed it. That was great. Obviously, it's been a bit of a come down since then. It doesn't work like that.
I think with Nick Grimshaw, it's very... Yeah, I think it's also what he represents. It's like the message is, you can be this ignorant and boring and still manage to climb your way to the top somehow. Mm. And that is the message that's being sent when you listen to the radio show. Because, like... And I just think Radio 1 can do better. And they've not. It's not as if they've done a lot better. I do like Greg James, I have to say. Like, I think he's okay. But it's just insane that Nick Grimshaw has got to that position where he's just interviewing people, just saying stupid things.
Yeah.
Just saying all day, basically.
It's weird, isn't it? It's like he sort of occupies that space where it's like, you know, like we were saying before, it's like, you know, you occupy that space where, like, you fit in with celebrities and the crowd and you look right, but, like... The other ones there have a talent, but we're not really sure what yours is. That, you know, you kind of, your talent is that you look hip, you look vaguely right in that crowd. That's sort of,
and that's
your
not
thing.
Even that's not even helpful for radio.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? If you're the best thing about you is your haircut, then what are you doing on the radio? Like, but that people always go on about is how good his haircut is. I'm just like, I mean, just why is he doing this then?
Yeah, but he didn't do that. Like, but someone else did that for him.
But like you say, like, I like, in terms of his job as a presenter, like, his talent is opening up people to talk about interesting topics. The most viewed clip I could find of him was him talking to someone, Henry Cavill, about his film role, and basically just making it as hard as it could for Henry Cavill, and making that experience unenjoyable. It's like, you couldn't have picked anyone worse for this job. And I'm not saying that being a presenter is like, you know, it's still difficult to do that. There are people who are very good at it. I'm just saying he's so bad at presenting and so dislikable. It's just insane that he's got to this level of everyone dislikes him.
Yeah.
And yet he's on the most popular radio show that exists. I don't know.
I think it was one of those things where they just figured that if they get him on, he's more likely to get press coverage than Greg James was at the time. Because he's more likely to be out with Kate Moss or, like, hanging out with the Kooks, getting into some mischief, you know.
God.
And, like, and then he'll get in the papers or, like, oh, look, Nick Grimshaw stumbling out of a taxi after the Brits, you know. So he went, well, let's just see how much fame and press we can get off him. Because Greg James is probably going to be quite professional, go to bed on time, you know, wake up, arrive early, do loads of prep, you know. And I think they just sort of think, well, let's just try it for 6 months, see how he gets on.
You even saying... Nick Grimshaw hanging out with the Kooks gives me like a headache. Like, I can't imagine being around that table for like more than 5 minutes. Can you? Like, I just awful. I saw the Kooks live, and that's another thing about the Kooks is quite. You mentioned the Kooks; they're so weird. In the lead singer, he can't say words properly.
Yeah,
and it's the thing. And I think at one point in my youth, I did look up the words to some of the Kooks songs, because, and it's a nice surprise. You go like, oh, that's what he was actually saying. That's crazy. It's like a puzzle's been solved. I'm saying it's your fault.
Yeah, it's that weird, like, are you're not northern, are you trying to sound northern, or like, it's that weird kind of indie sort of, like, I don't know. I think Nick Grimshaw on the island, I think partly, like, he'll start off quite animated and kind of keep, like, punching you on the arm and being like, hey, this is all right though, isn't it, mate? Hey, you know, oi. And then, but then quite quickly become very bored and also, like, remember that he's, like, a bit of a famous guy and just can't be bothered with a lot of stuff.
For sure, the high maintenance is a problem in terms of, like, he probably has a lot of stuff done for him. But also because I just dislike him so much as a person that even I feel like I'd have to, before talking to him, I'd have to exhaust all other things on the island. Like, I'd have to have, like, before I'd gone over to him, be like, hey, Nick, and he's like, oh, these coconuts, they're a bit like balls, aren't they? And I'd be like, oh, God, like, can we just, like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't even hear, I'd even thinking about him, thinking about him being on an island with me, just is, like, already quite frustrating. I just can't. I just hate him so much. Fair and yeah, I would hate to share Lionel with him because A, I hate him, and B, because I think he would be a terrible person on the island. I don't think he would do. I don't think he would pull his weight. And a lot of the decisions I've made today and the other people is, I don't think anyone would pull their weight on the island. Mm. Let's be honest.
Well, Huge, I think your passion is coming through and it's good to see at this stage of the podcast. So let's see who's going to be joining you and Nick Grimshaw on the island.
The second person who's joining me on the island is Grandpa Joe from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Oh, okay. Right. Good. Why do you pick him?
He is... Can you swear on the podcast?
Absolutely.
He's a fucking piece of shit. and I can't believe that he's gone so... this has gone on so long that no one's seems to have clocked onto this. Like, people think it's bad that Willy Wonka killed children in his factory. That pales in comparison to what Grandpa Joe did. Because at least Willy Wonka didn't know the children. I mean, that's not a great start. But I guess at least he didn't kill, and then at least they kind of killed themselves in a way. Like, it was, dude, they did it themselves.
Yeah.
Grandpa Joe, right, you've got to put it in context of the, if you're not familiar with the film, I'll explain the premise to you. Charlie Bucket is very poor. He lives in a poor family. He lives in, like, basically a shack. His single mum seems to be working about four jobs at the time. One of her jobs, she's doing it at, like, midnight. She's got a big vat of clothes, and she's like pushing it around with a ladle. And yeah. I'm not even sure what that she's
just
doing.
Making, but like, it's clothes soup.
She's making soup. I thought when I was a kid, I was like, is she making soup out of clothes? I think now that she was cleaning the clothes, but I was like, I don't think that's how you clean clothes, mate. Anyway, I was like, no wonder she's poor. She's not doing it properly.
Just has to keep paying for all the clothes that she's ruined out of her wages. Yeah. Like, how does this keep happening? As she, like, pours them into a huge vat, adds loads of salt.
We've lost another vat full of clothes again, I'm afraid. Yeah, sorry about that. So basically, she's earning so much. The Charlie Bucket's grandparents, this for grandma, there's two grandmas, two grandfathers. They're in bed. They're not doing any. They're old people. They're in bed. She's providing for them. All they can afford is cabbage for cabbage soup.
Mm.
Right. Charlie Bucket gets a ticket. He wins a golden ticket to the factory. It's clear this is the best thing that's ever happened to them. And they go, he goes, I got a golden ticket. And they go, he goes, oh, I can go with one person. And then suddenly Grandpa Joe goes, oh, I can suddenly start to feel my legs getting better, actually. And then he gets out of bed and starts dancing and is like, I'm going to the factory. Take your mum to the factory.
Yeah.
Take your mum to the factory. Grandpa Joe, I don't care how you see that, has pretending to be disabled for a number of years.
Yeah.
Watching his, I'm assuming either his daughter or his daughter-in-law, work, like, herself to the bone. And he's just in bed watching TV.
Yeah. It's like, oh, if there's enough of a prize at the end of it, like, maybe I can walk. Because he goes from fully bedridden to basically, like, doing a dance within a song.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, even if you were in bed for, like, 30 years, doing a dance and a song would be hard. Like, that would be difficult to do. Just the way your muscles work in your legs. If anyone's broken, like, a leg or an arm or something, you know that it's, like, after you haven't moved it, it basically takes days to even get movement into it. That means that, like, during the night when they're asleep, Grandpa Joe's, like, just having a night out or something. Like, it's no way that he's been in bed for this long. And I understand that it's a children's book, but you've got to, like, it's been transferred to a film now with real people.
Mm.
You've got to think about these things. What a fucking piece of shit. And I don't say that about a lot of people, but what a abhorrent. And it's just, and also all the way through the film, you watch it again with this, you can see he's pushing so hard for Charlie to get the golden ticket.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what you were going to do. You knew as soon as he was getting a ticket, he was going to come out, jump out of his bed. He's a scammer, man. He's pretending to be disabled. So we can go to a chocolate factory, which is insane.
Yeah, and doesn't he... I haven't seen it in a long time, but doesn't he kind of also... There's a couple of times... There's like that bit where they drink the fizzy drink and they can float up in the air. And I'm sure that's Grandpa going, go on, let's just have a little sip, even though they weren't supposed to. It's like, you're leading... Like, Charlie Bucket is a good kid. He's had a hard time, and this is his one chance at an amazing life. And you're, like, sabotaging it. You know that...
Willy Wonka's got a mercurial temper. You know, he's going to come down on you hard if he sees you fucking about. And you're just kind of going, go on, Charlie, fuck it. Let's just do it, man.
Yeah, he is a bad influence, I have to say. It's also, he's meant to be the adult. He's meant to be a role model here. Willy Wonka said, he basically said, all right, I'll show you around the factory. Don't steal any of my stuff.
Yeah.
And Grandpa Joe went, let's steal some stuff, I reckon.
Yeah.
And then it stole it. And then at the end, he goes really angry. Willy Wonka gets really angry and goes, you stole my stuff. And then Grandpa Joe's like, you're being unreasonable. He goes, no, I did say not to steal. I shouldn't have to say don't steal my things. But I did say it anyway. And he has stolen it. And then, yeah, he's an awful, I hate Grandpa Joe so much. Because I actually really like that film. But it's completely tarnished by Grandpa Joe because I just hate that man. 100% should have taken his mum. And I think Grandpa Joe on the island would also be a problem. Because as soon as he gets to the island, he'd be like, legs can't work again.
Yeah.
You go, but you were fine together when you told you we'd get on the plane.
Yeah.
He goes, nah, this... probably back to the bed, I guess, I reckon.
This plane was taking you on a walking holiday when it crashed. What's going on here? You were gonna do the Inca Trail. What's going on?
Yeah, nah, not for me. I'm feeling tired again.
Yeah.
Just feeling tired.
There's a thing about that film that I noticed as an adult, which I always love, because it really demonstrates like the difference in attitudes these days. So there's a bit where, like, I think Charlie gets a bar of chocolate for his birthday or something, and then that doesn't have a ticket. And then doesn't Grandpa Joe, he buys him one at some point. And the mother goes, oh, Grandpa Joe, you mustn't. That money was for your tobacco. And is that, so it's like, I love the idea that they're like, don't spend it on chocolate for the poor boy who has nothing. Like, that's supposed to be for your only pleasure, which is smoking fags. But also, like, I mean, that's great that one time he did buy him a chocolate bar. But that means that that's been happening all the rest of the times. So there was a little bit of money for tobacco. Like, if you're at the point where you're all living in one room and four of you are sharing a bed, like, forgo the tobacco. Like, buy him a chocolate bar every week. Like, give the kid a spinning top or whatever you want in those days. You know, like, get him something.
Just get him a tennis ball to throw against the wall. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's anything. They're watching a TV. Get rid of the TV. Right, buy some bread to go with a cabbage soup for one.
Yeah.
I did. It's interesting you've said that because I've not really thought about Grandpa Joe smoking in bed as well. They're all living in one room. Charlie lives in the same room as them. He's smoking in bed. What an environment to grow up in.
Yeah.
And Charlie Bucket is such a good boy. Yeah. He's such a good boy. And yet he's having to only eat chocolate like once in his life. And he's having to share a room with his grandpa who smokes in bed. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think Grandpa Joe is, he's even worse than I came into this thinking that I was going to have a rant about. I'm so incensed about this. I was maybe even going to do like a rant about this, like on stage for the comedy. But like, this is even just, I think that this is going to become a full routine because there's so many depths to what a piece of shit Grandpa Joe is that, and someone who would be really bad on an island.
Definitely. Oh, really well, Well, I'm happy to, you know, be a part of the work in progress because I've enjoyed your reasoning a lot and I think it makes perfect sense. I never realised what a scumbag he is. And, you know, at least they're the sort of the worst type of people, aren't they? The ones who sort of cover it in a veneer of kindness and really that's, you know, what's the word? Very insidious, I think. So
yeah, because everyone sees, like, Grandpa Joe's a hero. Like,
yeah.
Grandpa Joe is a fucking piece of shit. I'll say it again. I keep saying it because it's just... He is. There's no escaping it.
Okay. Well, Grandpa Joe is joining you on the island. Who's the final person who's going to join you?
The final person. I don't know if this person has been on before. It's Will.i.am.
Okay. Yeah, I think he has been on before, but I think probably not as many times as he might deserve to be. So what's your thoughts on Will.i.am?
I hate everything about Will.i.am. I hate his music is bad.
Mm.
His personality is bad. His TV show is bad. God, his haircut is awful. He's just everything about... There's nothing that is redeemable about Will.i.am.
Mm.
It's nothing redeemable. Let's start with the music. His music, it's been said before, but Black Eyed Peas music is rock music for people who don't like rock music and rap music for people who don't know rap music and hip-hop people. It's every genre of music.
Yeah.
In one band for absolutely no one. The song, I mean, I know we had a thing, there's a thing that they are, what's the best song? The song, Where Is the Love, was a close contender for the worst song. It's got the, if you actually, because there's a lot of like, people love that song because it's so nostalgic. Mm. But if you actually listen to the lyrics of that song, I think they're the worst lyrics to any song ever. You know, people, it's one of those songs in which it tries to, it's his whole brand of like, you know, where is the love? Share the love. And it's just talking about absolutely nothing. Mm. It's talking about children dying. It's talking about disease. It's talking about terrorism. It's talking about warfare. It's just in one song. You can't cover these issues, you know, in one song. And all the words have to rhyme. Do you know what I mean? Because children killing, children dying, people hurt and even crying. You can't stop children crying. Mm. I don't know what, like, why is that? Children cry. I don't know why this is a focus point of the song. So this is the worst lyric in the song. It goes, but if you only have love for your own race, then you only leave space to discriminate, and to discriminate only generate hate, and when you hate, then you're bound to get irate. Yeah. I mean, just, you know, when you've run out of, it's like when you, that's the music equivalent of starting a sentence and not knowing where it's going.
Yeah. And it's not like, I bet they weren't up against a deadline. It wasn't, that was them going, yeah, no, this is good. It wasn't the like, finished oh, product. Fuck, like, we've only got until 4 o'clock until the studio closes and we owe the label this hit track. We've got, we just get it done. No one will notice. You know, it's kind of like, it's maybe like one step up from just going, don't do bad things, be nice, and then just repeating that a lot.
They just keep saying that terrorism is wrong, and they're like, yeah, we know.
Yeah, it's kind, I don't know, complicated. What you were trying.
They just, it's completely just, you know, the world is bad, and also there's like a nostalgia to it. I remember someone playing it at a party I went to, like, what I say what, a year ago. A year ago I went to the last party I went to, and everyone was singing along to the lyrics, and the lyrics are like, don't reflect the mood of the song, because everyone's like really, really pleased to sing it. Mm. But it's about terrorism and the CIA and stuff, and it doesn't make any sense. They keep saying that there's a lyric about the CIA being the terrorists in the UK. And you're like, oh, that's interesting, let's get into this. And they just move straight on to the next line. You're like, what did you mean by the CIA being the real terrorist? Mm. Let's explore this. And it's already moved on to children crying. I'm like, well, that's another issue.
I'd like it if they were sort of like really anti-CIA and it turned out that they were part of like a sort of secret terror cell themselves, and this was all just a big bluff and they're like a new Al-Qaeda or something like that. And it's like, fucking hell, I never saw that one coming. I mean, you know, yeah. Fair play. That was a surprise, you know?
Yeah, I agree. There's so many, I mean, the music is only one aspect to his personality. Mm. That's only one, you know, one fifth of why he's terrible. And that is a good reason. His television show, The Voice, that he's on, great premise for a television show, great premise. It's I think it's the chairs that annoy me. It's the way they sit in the chairs. And because they're not like normal people, right? They have to sit on the chairs in an interesting way.
Mm.
And that really bothers me. They sit on the chair, like, they just sit on the chair normally. Some of them are, like, crouched in their chairs. Some of them are in, like, yoga positions. And then when they hear the music, their body does this sort of, like, weird, like, jerky thing. Mm. Of they're, like, listening to a song. And they're, like, listening to someone's voice. And they're, like, they start to, like, get really into it. Like, in a really cringy way. And you're, like, if you just listen to them. And I don't understand you're making a television show and you have there's some sort of reaction, but you really don't have to like climb into your chair like an 8-year-old. You know what I mean? Like, just listen to the song. It's so annoying. And Will.i.am is the worst because he's meant to be this. I don't know. It's also the fact that he's not a good musician, and this position of judging whether other people can sing, which he can't sing, by the way, right? He can't sing. I don't know why. It's like Danny Minogue in Pop Idol, like. You've not a singer. Your sister is a singer. You can't be judging people for. I don't. Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Because it's almost like if you are a successful musician, you don't need to go on those shows. So, by merit of you being on that show, it means you're not very good at your other job, your main job, which is being a musician. Because otherwise, you'd be busy doing, you know, making albums and touring and stuff.
Yeah, I guess so. But even then, you'd be like, you want some gravity. When someone says you're bad at singing, for the producers, you at least want some gravity to the situation of someone saying, you're not very good at singing, and then you want the reaction. For Danny Minogue to say, you're not very good at singing, you're like, well, what do you know about it? If Danny Minogue told me I wasn't good at singing, I'd be like, I feel absolutely nothing. I feel nothing that... I know that I'm not good at singing, but it's just... Yeah, his personality is bad as well, like his kookiness. He's like one of those people that's like, I'm just really kooky. I'm sorry, I find it difficult to speak. Because normally I'm so like, I'm quite calm and controlled, but just speaking about someone I hate so much really just triggers me.
It can happen. It can happen. I mean, it's quite a sort of like a pound shop Kanye West, isn't he? It's like, because there's that weird, it's like, he desperately wants that slight eccentricity. Well, I guess with Kanye, it's more than a slight eccentricity, but like, he wants a bit of that, like, yeah, like you say, like kookiness. He's like, oh, my glasses are made of Lego. Imagine that. And he kind of, you know, his interest in technology and all, like, I think it was, so we had Josh Weller on here, and he I think, was the another person who picked Will.i.am, and he said he'd met him at a party, and he just kept talking to him about how Apple were going to save the world. And you're like, they're not. They're just not. I mean, for a start, like, the amount of needless plastic that they, like, produce by changing the charger every 3 years, you know what I mean? Like, they're not going to be the ones to save the world. They're probably going to own the world, but they're not, you know, it's just like this really basic concept like that, but sort of delivered with real passion when you're really bored of listening to them. It's that sort of like, oh no, but actually I'm a genius, because like I'm not thinking one step ahead of the game. I'm thinking like seven steps ahead of the game. It's like, what? Just shut up. You're just surrounded by lackeys and you don't know what you're talking about, and that no one wants to tell you to shut up.
Yeah, I think that's a good comparison with Kanye West, because Kanye West says some bonkers things, like, at the best of times. He's saying, but at least, like, he believes in what he's saying. Like, he fully understands. He believes it, and it's good. And also, Kanye West is a good musician, so you trust what he says as an artist.
Mm.
When Will.i.am, it's like, you can see it in interviews when he's being asked at like these conventions about tech or whatever it is. They'll ask him a question, and he just will start the sentence and then just trail off.
Mm.
And then people are sort of waiting for him to finish the question, and then he just carries on going. Remember he was promoting this watch. It's like, it was like an iPhone. It was like an iWatch kind of a thing. And the guy's like, so, like, what is it? It's like, not a watch. It's like, what is it? And he's like, it's not a smartwatch. And it's like, well, it is a smartwatch. It is a smartwatch. He goes, it's a new thing. And then he's explaining this iWatch to this presenter. And the iWatch is like, they zoom on this watch that he's got. And it's, the screen is flickering, like it is broken, and it's insane that they can both. It's so weird for the presenter, because he's looking at this watch and it's broken. It's clearly broken, and they're both watching it, and they both have to pretend like it's working. And it's just the most insane thing of Will.i.am is just convince himself that this is a good product and it's absolutely fine. Just continuing on, just knowing absolutely nothing, like to know so little about technology that if the screen is flickering and breaking, it's a good product. Still just hammering on. It's just infuriating.
I read a thing the other day about him, if you want another thing to hate him for, that he's got, because obviously he's got a crazy diet, but one of his things is on Mondays he won't eat anything solid, so everything has to be blended on Mondays.
What?
And he called it something like, oh, hang on, I'm going to have to find this on, because he didn't just say, on Mondays I just juice. He had like a name for it, hang on. Oh yeah, he called himself a liquitarian.
Oh God.
Yeah, since Christmas, he has only eaten solid food on specific days of the week. So that's his thing. But you know, like, I just
think... For moral reasons. Well, why?
Oh man. Look, you know, diet can do all kinds of things. It's a very useful thing. But I kind of think at this point, in the year 2021, if only drinking on one day of the week had that much of a health benefit, we'd probably have worked it out by now. Like, I think, you know, there are still secrets to be discovered about food. But I kind of think the basic premise of food and its function is nailed down. And most people agree, like, you know, a good balance of everything, not too much or too little. No one's going... Oh, but if you eat this stuff, but it's liquid on one day, then this is fucking game changer, mate. You'll be able to see into the future. It's like, we get how food works now, Will.i.am. Like, stop trying to hack food. Like, just fucking be normal for a bit.
Yeah, we have discovered most things about food. Yeah, I do. Even with, for a normal person, if you were to say to me, this person is blending their food, I'd be like, that's quite annoying. Mm. But with Will I Am, it's like, I assumed that he was blending it.
Yeah.
I assumed it. I don't like his name either. And that's coming from someone who's given themselves a nickname. You know, it's even for me, myself, like, I hate that he's called Will I Am. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't. It's like it would be okay if it made sense. It just doesn't make any sense. Will I Am. It's the wrong way around. It's, and I know it's a play on William, but if it doesn't make sense, don't do it. Just don't do it.
I think there are better, especially like, you're supposed to be a rapper. You're supposed to, like, wordplay is supposed to be the thing that you're best at, you know, and that's like a crap joke. It's the sort of thing that like your uncle would call you and then, you know, but it'd really annoy you as you got to like 16. You're like, oh, shut up, Uncle Tim. Stop fucking calling me Will I Am all the time. You're not supposed to like build an empire around it. It's just meant to be an annoying throwaway thing.
It's the sort of person that I would meet and I would just call William.
Yeah.
And he'd be so annoyed by it. I'd just be like, well, I've just read what's been written.
Yeah.
It's William. And yeah.
Fair enough. Well, I think he makes a good addition to your island, definitely.
Yeah, I think he'd be thinking of coming up with loads of tech ideas as well for the island. He'd be like, let's try and make like a coconut milk machine. Hmm. And then maybe we could like sell that. I'm like, there's no one else on the island. We can't sell, like, let's build a raft. He'd be like, but what about like a double-decker raft? I'd be like, nope, just a raft.
Yeah, and then when he got around, I imagine when he got bored of that, he'll just sort of, I can imagine him getting quite, like, I don't know, starting his own cult or becoming Jesus or something. Or like one day he's just thrown all your food into the sea as part of a cleanse or something. You're like, oh, just give it a
just trying to liquefy it.
Yeah, exactly.
He goes blending down like a wild pig that we've got. Don't blend down the pig, mate. We need the pig.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think it's a strong lineup of dicks for your island. So I think that's a fine choice all round. Now, mercifully, amongst the wreckage of the plane, there was some food and drink left over. Unfortunately for you, it's your least favourite food and drink in the world. What are they, and why are they so bad?
With food, I actually like most food, which is annoying. I think the only food I dislike is, I think it's licorice.
Mm. Yeah,
I cannot. For me, it's like it tastes like medicine.
Yeah,
I feel it's medicinal. Like I'd rather have mouthwash than licorice. And it's also, it's weird because it's normally like with food that doesn't taste great. You're like, well, at least it's good for me. It's bad for you. Like it's bad for you to eat licorice, and yet people just still continue on like it's a normal thing to do. You're insane. You can't just don't eat it.
It's weird, isn't it? It feels like something that, like, I get it in the past, if you were Charlie Bucket, you know, like, that's what you had. You had licorice, that was a treat. But now, like, there's all kinds of shit we can eat, like, for fun, that isn't that. So
You could only buy it in a shop in which Snickers were also available. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's Haribo also on the same shelf. It's next to it.
Yeah.
It's next to it.
Licorice all sorts were like, you know, you'd occasionally get them from like your nan or something, and it's like, well, they've got enough of other stuff in that I can maybe pick the licorice bit off and just have the coloured bit. But when it's just licorice, like, what's the point? And people, you know, Scandinavia, they love salty licorice.
Yeah.
And it's like, what could you do to make this thing that's basically like boot rubber worse? You're like, cover it in salt. Like,
yeah.
What part of fun don't you understand? It's meant to be sweet.
Yeah, it's I cannot, because some foods I sort of don't really like a little bit, but I can understand. I'm like, I can understand. I literally have no understanding of how licorice could be fun to eat in any sense of the word. It tastes so bad on every level to the point where like I can't even finish it. You know, you have to spit it out. Like it's so weird for a food that you have a mouthful of and you go, well, I didn't really like that, but to have an insult, I don't want it in my stomach. I don't want to go past my mouth.
And it's texturally, it's very weird because it's sort of like just, it sticks in your teeth. It's very hard. It sort of stays with you for a long time.
Yeah.
You know.
It's there for the long haul.
Yeah. And it's not very sustaining. I mean, it's just, I used to get it in health food shops and stuff. So maybe, like, I remember going there with my mum when I was young, and that was like, there was like, it was a health food shop, so obviously you couldn't buy treats there, but on the counter they had like a few things you could get. I think maybe you could get aniseed balls and licorice and some other weird shit, but like that was the limit of it. And it was just, I remember trying it, just sort of going, can I have something because I'm six and this is the only way to make this trip worthwhile? And then just, no, it's terrible.
Oh, God. Yeah, I can't figure it out. I think I've met very few people that actually like licorice. So I can't even understand how it's still being made. I think I've met probably about four people in my whole life who have enjoyed licorice, and the rest are like, well, obviously it's disgusting. I don't understand how, you know, when sometimes when you're not doing so well and you're like, it's sad to know that if you'd gone into licorice, you'd have been fine.
Mm.
You'd be like, how has this happened?
My wife is the least fussy person I know. Like, in terms of food, like, I think there's maybe two things she doesn't like, and one of them is licorice. And I mean, that to me speaks volumes, because she's fine with everything basically, but licorice is like her sort of kryptonite. And I kind of, you know, I do get it. It's just, and it's probably quite tiring to eat as well. It's just like
really tiring, really tiring. Also, it's so weird because it's so much worse than everything else. It's so much worse. There's things I don't like, and it's like, well, if it's on the plate, I'll probably mix it in with everything else.
Yeah.
But, like, there's no way that I could put that amongst anything else. Like, even if I had a fistful of sweets and I put them in my mouth, only one of them was licorice, I would still notice, and I couldn't eat the rest. I couldn't finish the mouthful.
Oh, definitely. It would taint everything, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And it's sort of like the only purpose for it, I can imagine it would be useful for building with, you know, like, it's some kind of, like, waterproofing thing that you could put on the roof of your hut or something. But then the rain would probably all turn brown and sticky after a while.
Yeah. I think, on the island it might have some practical use as opposed to eating. I could maybe it floats. Maybe I could put them all together. And But, on an island, I think if I just had licorice, I'd find it very tough.
This is
a horrible podcast, because I'm actually imagining myself there. It's getting worse and worse. There's Will.i.am there, firstly, and then Grandpa Joe. And then there's also just licorice.
Mm.
I mean, I don't think they like licorice either, so they'll be talking to me about it. I don't even want to.
I think Grandpa Joe probably, it's probably right up his street. He's exactly the demographic for licorice, I think. But he'll probably go, come on, you know, stop being such a stick in the mud. Come on, eat your licorice and enjoy. And then
probably opening the packets, being like, see if you want a competition.
Yeah, exactly.
We might be able to go to a factory or holiday or something. I don't know.
Okay, well, I'll distract you from licorice by asking you, what would your drink choice be?
So this is coming from someone who doesn't drink. I don't drink alcohol. And then people are like, why? It's like, I just don't think it tastes that nice. Like, it doesn't taste as good as regular drinks. There's a particular scene in Peep Show where Jeremy's like having wine at a restaurant, and he's asked to taste the wine, and then he tastes it, and then he how is it? And he's like, oh, it's really delicious. It's good for wine.
Yeah.
You know, it's not really delicious like hot chocolate or Coke.
Yeah.
Which I think does sum it up, which is like, I think most alcohol tastes quite bad, and the benefits, I think people are just afraid of the benefits of alcohol, is like, you get really drunk, and it's nice to get drunk. Like, I don't really get drunk anymore, but it is nice to get drunk.
Mm.
So I think people are just in denial about, you know, you have to have cocktails for it to be enjoyable, basically. And you have to, like, to even have beer, you have to, like, wean yourself onto beer for a number of years before you even enjoy it, which is just crazy to me.
Yeah.
But I think the worst drink of all time is a Bloody Mary.
Okay.
Tomato juice is disgusting. It's a disgusting drink. And then I like Tabasco sauce. I like spicy foods. But to put it that with Tabasco sauce, and then I guess what's the spirit in a Bloody Mary?
Vodka.
So vodka in that too. Yeah. Another thing that tastes horrible. I'm sick of people pretending vodka's nice. It's not. It's not good. People are like making cooking dishes with vodka in it. I'm like, you insane. But why are you putting vodka in that? It famously tastes disgusting. And then also to put a celery stick in it.
Mm.
I mean. When I first had it, I honestly thought it was a practical joke.
Yeah, I once ordered one in an airport, and the guy didn't know what one was, so I had to explain it to him. And you could see him, like, going, I haven't worked here long. Are you trying to get me fired? Like, what the fuck is going on? You know, are you some kind of weird mystery shopper trying to sort of catch me out? And I was like, no, like, tomato juice with this, and, you know, some vodka in it. Like, what? Yeah, and then celery. And, yeah, like, I like them, but I can absolutely understand why they're a fucking weird drink. You know how, like, over the last sort of few years, like, in pubs, burgers have just got taller and taller, so they have to be held together with spikes.
With a big stick.
Yeah. So that's like a thing in pubs. And alongside that, Bloody Marys have got more and more expensive and complicated to the point where you order one and like half an hour later they bring it to you and they've just been like making soup for ages. And then, you know what I mean? And it's like, there is definitely like something weird about them. It's just, yeah, and there's, which kind of annoys me quite. And also a bad one, I mean, this is from someone who likes them. It's quite often you can just get served one that's just horrible as well, even though I like them. So.
But that's the thing. This is where we differ. Like, I had my friend, I've known for a long time now. He was like the bar manager of this cocktail bar in London. And I went. He was like, "Come on to the bar. I'll get you some drinks for free and stuff." And I was like, "Okay." And he told me that he won an award. His bar won an award for the best Bloody Mary in the UK for that year.
Hmm.
So I was like, "Well, okay, let's go. Like this. If this is the best,
yeah.
that." If this is the best, by what I assume is a board that drinks a lot of Bloody Marys, and this is the best, I had it, and it was absolutely disgusting. Still completely disgusting. Still tasted of tomato juice. It was spicy. It's so spicy, too. Like, I like spicy food, but I like it in, like, why is it in a refreshing drink? You know what I mean? Like, it's a thing that people really like it, and it's, people really like it. It's for hangovers, which I also don't understand.
Mm.
Why are you drinking something that's completely horrible? I just think it's... you would never drink tomato juice by itself. Adding vodka into it wouldn't help either.
Mm.
Wouldn't help the taste. Neither would Tabasco sauce. You know, these aren't balancing each other out. Yeah. I don't understand it. And yeah, I feel like they're a hate crime against drinks.
Yeah, it's very much blurs the line of like food and drink. It's kind of like a boozy smoothie or something, but like a boozy savory smoothie. And when I put it like that, I'm starting to come around to your way of thinking as well.
And then to top it off, the celery, one of the worst raw vegetables of all time you can have. Yeah. Celery, disgusting fibers are going all the way through it. You know, just a horrible vegetable to eat raw.
Yeah, and on a hot island as well. You're just that nice hot tomato juice. Because it is popular on planes. It's a real like plane drink. A lot of people have them on planes. I don't know why it is about it. But maybe because you're drinking first thing in the morning, I suppose, a lot of the time. But
maybe it's because you just hate. Maybe it's because you hate yourself. That'd be my reason.
Okay, so licorice and Bloody Mary. Fair enough. Okay, now, fortunately, you won't be without entertainment on the island. The plane's entertainment system continues to work, but just your luck, it only has two working settings. One is your least favourite film of all time, and the other is your least favourite song. What are they and why?
Least favorite film. I think this is I watched this recently, so it might be just because I watched it recently. But it's 50 Shades of Grey.
Okay.
I don't know if that's a popular one that's come up.
I'm trying to think now. I'll have to consult our spreadsheet. But what was it? I mean, I haven't seen it, but I'm very aware of the critical feedback it got. So I'm quite curious to watch it.
I'd say I don't drink. It's not like I'm like. I did have a drinking game to it because I thought it would be fun to do it. We did a drinking game to it. So I'm not like against drinking in general, but I just don't normally drink. We played a drinking game to that game and it was a fun experience. But the film, if I went to go watch that in a cinema, I'd have been absolutely furious. If you don't know anything about... Basically, it's based off a book written by someone and the book is based off a Twilight fan fiction.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
So it's fully, it was just online as a Twilight fan fiction. So if you don't like Twilight, you know, think of the watered down version of that. And it's just offensive in so many ways. It's offensive to just, there's almost nothing happens in the film. Almost nothing happens. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's so long and nothing's, and it's not even that long, but I think it's like an hour and a half, but even then it's like, it's impossible. You're thinking there must be something that's going to happen in a minute. There must be, and it goes around another corner, and it's still nothing, and it's about, you know, BDSM, and I think the whole thing is meant to be, it's meant to be quite raunchy, the film. So at least going into it, I was like, this is going to be really raunchy, and then you watch the film, and the climax of the film is he hits her on the bum with a little slapper thing like six times, and I was like, I that's more than most people, but I was like, for the raunchiest film of the year. I was like, and it's not even, it's so drawn out. It's so built, it's like built, the whole film is built up to that moment.
Mm.
And you're just like, is this, it's not even that bad. I feel like it's, I feel like kids hit each other harder than that. Like just on a, just around the house. I don't know. And I don't know. Like,
do you think it's one of those things where like, cause the book was supposed to be quite sort of, you know, erotically charged and graphic, that they kind of went, well, we've got a problem because this is, book has sold millions across the world. So we need to capitalize on that and make as much money as possible by doing a film. But at the same time, we can't do everything because we can't make porn. So maybe it's like the lead up to all the shit that's going to happen. But then if we do that, you end up with a really boring film. Because basically, you know, like, no one's going into it for like this incredible story, is it? I mean, like, surely everyone, you know, it's about being a bit titillated or being a little bit naughty or something, isn't it? I mean,
yeah,
no one's going, sure. Oh, but the writing is just superb.
Yeah, exactly. Why not just make go all out? Because the only people watching, there's no kids watching this.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's only, you know, people in their mid-40s who are like really desperate. You're reading or enjoying this at any point. So it's like, just make it like crazy. Just make it porn. I'd respect it more if they were like, it's a porno.
Yeah.
And then I'd be like, well, yeah, well, sure. Now we can watch it in its full in entirety and also dislike it at the same time.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, even like doing a really watered down version of it. I think I would watch, I think it's quite a special film in terms of like, I don't know how, because the director of it is, I think is quite a good director. I think, I remember looking her up at the time because I was like, what? She's actually done some other good films, I think. And it's crazy to I think watch it and do a drinking game to it, because it's quite fun to do it to a drinking game, because some of the rules that you can slip in there are crazy. Like every time she like moans without being prompted, there's no context for her moaning, and it's a lot. Like we had to take that rule out a little bit. We were like, we're not going to make it to the end of the film. Someone hasn't drunk in like a year. I was like, I don't think I can make it past like the midpoint.
Yeah, I wonder if it's just though when it's something that you know has been so successful, like I don't know, the Da Vinci Code or something, and as a director you're asked to take it on, you just go, well, even if I can't make this good and I suffer a bit, definitely it's going to do well because people are going to be curious. So fuck yeah. It, I'll just take the check, you know. But then it's one of those where there's sequels, aren't they? Like Avatar did really well, and then they've decided too early on to make sequels, and then there's really no appetite for them after people have seen the first
one. Yeah, there's meant to be 5 in the works, I think. There's 5 films confirmed.
Yeah.
It's like, I've not seen the other ones. I think I'm going to keep it to like a... We watched it on Valentine's Day, so I think it's like a Valentine... It's going to be like a Valentine's Day tradition.
Mm.
I dread to... I heard the other ones are worse. And, I can't imagine... It's honestly... I know it's popular to say the film is bad, but I don't think I've seen a film as objectively as bad as this film. And it looks really nice. Everything looks nice. But it's like... It's like, at least with other films that are really bad, you can kind of watch them and go and sort of like enjoy how bad they are. You cannot enjoy this film without a separate game on top of it. Like there's no way to enjoy this film at any point. Even someone who watched the film for the wrong purposes, someone who was like, oh, like it'd be good to watch like this woman's boobs or whatever. Even on that level.
Mm.
I feel like you could go into it and be like, this is very disappointing. Even as a pervert going into watching two people get naked and bang, Hollywood people bang, you'd be like, this is no worth.
Mm.
I'm not getting anything from these scenes specifically. Even the raunchy scenes aren't very good.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
It's weird, isn't it? That sort of argument as well these days. It's like when porn is so accessible. Like I had a mate who was like, oh yeah, like I know it's really trashy, but I really like watching Love Island because I really fancy the girls in there. And you're like, you could just watch porn. Like you can see, I mean, like you could get so much more. Or if you didn't want to watch porn and you just wanted to look at women in bikinis strolling around, you could also find that. I mean, it's like, what? Like you don't need to do this. There's a shortcut here. It's like, what?
Yeah. It's like when the sun said there was no more Page 3 girls anymore. Mm. And people's an outrage about it. It's like, wait till you get on Google and then you Google image search boobs, you can literally, there's not even any pages anymore. You can literally just scroll forever. You could scroll, if you type in boobs into Google Images and scroll, you could probably get 3 years in without stopping and still have more boobs to see. Like, that's why is the out? It's it's just crazy that people will be outraged by no more boobs in the paper.
Yeah.
It's like, but I wanted to watch my boobs on the train. It's like, yeah, just get a phone, get a smartphone. You can just save some pictures in your gallery.
I know. It's so weird, isn't it? So weird. Okay, anyway. So 50 Shades of Grey is going to be your film. And what will your song choice be?
So as I said, I've mentioned before, you know, Where Is the Love is very close to it. More because it's so popular and I have to hear it every now and then. This is a song that I don't think anyone's heard for a long time, which is Cher Lloyd's Swagger Jagger.
Okay.
I don't know if anyone remembers that song. It probably came out probably about 10 years ago, I reckon. When I heard that song, it's a hate crime against music. As someone who, like, I write a lot of songs for, like, different shows, like, for different people, and that's, like, I'm learning more about music as I do it, as you, like, that's part of the fun of it. And to actually make a song like this, from a musician, to make a song like this, because I know she didn't write it, it's not heartfelt, to get given her this to sing is an insult to music. It gets worse and worse and worse. I've not yet listened to the end of the song because I cannot make it to the end of the song. It hits you. It's like, it's like five songs in one song. It's even that is like an atrocity. Which, like, just stick to one thing. It moves through phases of, like, it's like a war. It's like the next phase is even worse than the last phase. It just gets, it's so horrible and overproduced. The word's terrible. She keeps mentioning Mick Jagger as if that's like a cultural, like, you know, I don't think she knows who Mick Jagger is. and then it's talking about swag and people and haters, and it's all that sort of like weird jargon that's like doesn't mean anything. And it's just completely, the whole song together, I truly believe, is the worst song of all time.
I agree with your point about, like, her awareness of Mick Jagger is probably quite small, and also Mick Jagger's style of dancing, you know, it's very obviously, it's, you know, completely recognizable and unique to him, but it's so kind of what's the word, I can't think of the word, but, you know, it's so unique to him that if you see anyone dancing like him, they just look ridiculous. It's the same as if anyone talks like Mick Jagger, you go, what's wrong, why are you doing that? It's like, that's just how he moves, and he always has. But it's not like someone moving like Prince. You go, okay, gotcha, right. You know, like swagger like Prince or something. But like, Mick Jagger, it's just a weird thing. And I think it probably just because it rhymes with swagger so well.
Oh, 100%. It rhymes with swagger.
Because there's another song, isn't there? Was it Maroon 5?
You've got the moves like Jagger.
Yeah, again, it's like...
You've got the moves like Jagger.
And they're not... I don't think that's a, those songs aren't
a good
that...
thing.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of... chronology, they're not that far apart, and, you know, in terms of music, they're basically next to each other in the timeline of popular music. So, like, what's going on?
Yeah, I was always confused by moves like Jagger, because a lot of the video is the lead singer of Maroon 5 dancing. I'm like, this isn't about you.
Yeah,
this is about your dancing.
Yeah,
get Jagger on. I don't know. It's a bit of a weird song. I listened to the song before I came on the podcast this morning. Yeah, I still couldn't make it to the end. I still could not make it. Even when I tried to. Like, at the beginning of the song, I was like, you're going to make it all the way through. And in the middle, it wasn't even like I made a decision to turn it off. I just had to put it down. I had to turn it off. it's such a bad song. And I'd like to have picked a more personal song, of which, like, I didn't like it for this reason. It is just simply the worst combination of notes and lyrics and music and beats in a song that exists, hands down.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. I wonder if it's just that sort of thing of them going, right, well, she's been on X Factor, so we've got to give her songs that other people wrote because we don't want to spend much money, but actually she's done enough covers now, so we should probably give her a song that seems like it's her own, but again, don't want to spend so much money. Anyone got anything? It's like, oh, I've got these, like, shreds of stuff that other people... Let's just, like, copy and paste a load of shit together and then maybe it'll do. And then if that one does all right, then we'll write her a proper one.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. The way though they probably marketed it was like, listen, this needs to be as popular as possible. So let's do like a social experiment here in which we put every single genre of music into one song. And then maybe everyone will like it. You're like, and they were like, that's not really worked. I think it's quite jarring more than anything to have put every genre into one song.
Or it's maybe like one of those music industry things where they're like, well, later this year, we've got loads of other things coming out. We don't really want this to cannibalize our sales of that. So we need to look like we're supporting her, but don't actually want this one to be successful because we've got the new series of X Factor coming out in the autumn. Let's just write a really shit song. And then we said we've given it a chance. She won't be successful. She can go back to wherever she's from. Done. Yeah. And we can concentrate on Little Mix or whatever.
Yeah.
It's probably a deliberate thing.
That's probably true. There's probably like an A range and a B range. I was watching it on YouTube and I went down to the comments because I remember at the time it was the song was panned by everyone. It was like famously bad. And it stuck with me for this long. That's how bad it is. But some of the comments I was reading, I think they just deleted some of the negative comments on it. And the only left are the positive ones. Someone has written recently, and it's got a lot of likes on it. So it's like unironic. It says, this is the only thing that's got me through lockdown. And then like loads of like love hearts after it. I was like, you know what? We're living in hell. This is like where you live must be hell. Can you imagine being a neighbor to this person? And they're just every day they wake up, they play it and they go, well, that's giving me the energy to do what I need to do today. It's like, it's just so funny to me that someone's in the house and they're going like, this is the only thing that's keeping me going. Like, you know, everything's gone, you know, left my job. It's really difficult. I can't speak to my family anymore. This news is more horrible by the day. But Sherlock Swagger Jagger is pulling me up from the depths every single day. Stay down there. Stay in the depths, I reckon.
Unless they're like, just some weird crazy fan who like they are listening to it and it has got them through lockdown, but as has making like threatening letters from cut up magazines whilst listening to it, you know. So you know, we don't know the context around this survival technique.
And if you listen to this, if you listen to the song, right, it's some of it sounds a bit like a siren. It's like a kind of like a siren-y sort of tinge to it, which would be good for like an island, because you could, if you play it loud enough, someone will probably come and go, is that a siren? It's all like, what's that horrible noise? Is that hell opening up? And then it goes, no, it's just us on an island. It's me, Nick Grimshaw, who probably loved it. Will I Am, who probably loved it, and Grandpa Joe, probably dancing to it.
Yeah, well, I think it's a good choice and definitely going to drive you mad as well. So, yeah, fair choice. Okay, now, finally, the island is overrun by the biggest dick of all the animals. Which animal is it and why?
It's a donkey.
Donkey.
You know what? It's like, it's difficult for me because I feel sad for them when they're in the adverts carrying too many bricks or whatnot. I do feel for them. I go, I don't like carrying bricks. You don't like carrying bricks. You know, that's fair enough. But like when I was a kid, I was taken to a donkey sanctuary by my mum and dad in Wales, and I was saying hi to a donkey, and he stood on my foot and he broke my foot, basically, and he was there for ages. I was not near anyone. I was near my friend, and he was laughing quite hard at me because the donkey stood on my foot and I crushed it. No. And my friend was just like laughing because I was just so, I'd never been in this much pain before in my life, and that was like really funny, obviously. And so no one was there helping me. The donkey just wouldn't move. I was like punching the donkey, like just trying to, because just like I did, I like, it wouldn't get off, so I was just trying to hurt the donkey. It was solid. My 7-year old hands were bouncing off this donkey. It wasn't even feeling it, and it crushed me, and it was like I felt like it knew what it was doing. Like there's no way that you tread on something like a foot and then there's like yelling, screaming, and you just stay there and you continue to eat grass.
Yeah, exactly. You'd know that something's going on around you, that like this other animal isn't happy with what I'm doing.
Yeah, it was awful. And then ever since then, I've had like a distaste for donkeys. I had to be in bed for the rest of that. We were like, it was like a holiday. It was like the place we were at was like, it was in a donkey sanctuary. So like you'd hire out like a little caravan thing they have in the donkey sanctuary. And the donkeys just basically like, just hang around the caravan kind of stuff. Yeah, it ruined it because I was in bed for the whole thing because I couldn't do activities or anything. And then I had to, the only thing I could look out at was windows, and all I could see was the fucking donkey who put me there.
And probably quite scared to leave your cabin or your caravan as well.
100%. I even today, like when I see a donkey, I'm just like, I kind of just feel, I feel like I want to remove myself from the situation, because I'm just like, I think I'm gonna have to do something to the donkey for like revenge, but like I don't trust myself to be around them. So yeah, donkey's the worst. I don't have anything. I think it was just that donkey, but it's the only animal that's wronged me in so personally.
But yeah, but they're quite a weird thing, and like they're very loud as well. I remember seeing one when I was on holiday a few years ago, and it did its kind of the classic noise, and it's deafening. And so imagine an island full of those, and it's a horrible noise as well that they make. It sounds like they're really in pain. Like me and my wife were walking along, and like I don't know, I think we had some bread in our bag and fed it, and it started making this noise. And we thought we'd like broken it or something. We're like, shit, should we not have? Is it choking? What? Oh no, that's just the donkey sound. It's okay. But
you know, you say it. They do make a horrible kind of unexplainable noise. It's a bit like a, you know, when a fox screams.
Yeah,
that's the only way to describe it. It's screaming.
Yeah,
but a fox screams. It's the same thing with the donkey. You're like. That's the sort of noise an animal makes when you're just like, I think you want me to put you down. It sounds like we should go to the vet.
Yeah. Yeah, and they do seem like, well, I mean, obviously in your case it was kind of obstinate and stubborn and horrible, but yeah, it does definitely sound like an awful thing to be stuck with. And you can't eat them. It's not going to be nice to eat them. So, yeah, I think a good choice for an animal to overrun your island, so... I think it's a fitting end to your selection, which has been amazing, by the way. I think very well thought through, very unpleasant to live with. So I think you've nailed it, really. So
thanks, man.
Thank you very much.
Is there ever a situation in which you're like, that sounds great? Actually, I think you've swindled this.
Occasionally on the food and drink, I'm like, oh, I could deal with that. I don't always hate every person that's on there, so there's some that are better than others, but I think I know. I mean, apart from the Bloody Mary and yours, I could deal with that. But I mean, again, on a hot island though, not really what I'd be after, so even then it's pretty good. So
you'd have to have salvaged the Bloody Mary from the plane too, so it's not even like, it's not even out of a like cold glass. It's like you literally have to get like a carton of concentrated tomato juice and then also get the celery out of a sand dune, you know, like blow it down and stuff, you know. And then you have to like take the vodka. It's probably not great vodka from the plane as well, so this is probably going to be the worst Bloody Mary you'll ever have.
I agree. Yeah, definitely. So. Okay. Now, obviously, you know, it's been a tough time for comedians and stuff, but, you know, there's sort of restrictions easing on the horizon. Is there anything you're up to at the minute that we should put in our diaries? Where's the best place to sort of keep abreast of what you're up to?
You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Huge Davies. At the moment, I've just finished, like, I was on the last series of Stand Up Sketch Show. I've done a bunch of different sort of like mini like little things that I've done, but they're kind of all over now. I think I'm just sort of waiting for stand-up to come back, to be honest. I think we're all like just waiting for it to happen. Hopefully it will happen. I run like an online gig called Joy Multiplication every so often with Chloe Petz and Sam Lake and Olga Koch. So that's good. If you want to see us do some comedy. But apart from that, nothing really, to be honest. If you want to find out more about me, you can follow me on social media and stuff. But no massive big projects coming up.
Okay, cool. Well, that's all right. We shall keep following you and, just enjoy your stuff that way. But, Huge, thank you very much for coming on Desert Island Dixter. It's been an absolute pleasure, mate.
Thanks, man. Thanks. I've enjoyed it. Thanks very much.